Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, February the 13th, and we're going to do a Happy Valentine's Day show today with our friend Leslie Eastman. We'll talk about a lot of things. Leslie has a wonderful story about her son that she's going to share with us today. We'll talk about maybe some Valentine's Day experience, and we'll mix in, obviously, a little bit of the politics. Leslie, of course, being a contributor to Legal Insurrection, she's on top of many of the political story. So let me say Happy Valentine's Day one day in advance, but nevertheless, Happy Valentine's Day to our friend Leslie. How are you, Leslie?
Well, I think it's Happy Valentine's already on some portion of the planet, so it's none too early to wish my favorite Cuban-American and most interesting man in the world a very, very happy Valentine's.
Well,
and
thank
I hope
you,
and your Yes, thank you, and I hope you and your wife have a lovely day tomorrow. It should be just awesome.
Well, thanks to the beauty of podcasts, people will listen to this, of course, over time. So it's very possible that some will listen today or tomorrow or over the weekend. And so it'll be Valentine's, you say, somewhere. It's like that song that says it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like Valentine's Day. In fact, let me put it this way. I guess in some parts of the world, it's already Valentine's Day because of the hour difference. But Valentine's Day, you know, we've done several of these shows before, and it's always a lot of fun to do these with you. And by the way, for some of our friends who are listening, especially over on Facebook, I'll be posting some of the prior shows that we've done because they've been so interesting, and the topics are absolutely great. And I'm sure today it won't be any different with Leslie. Leslie, before we go, just for the benefit of those who may not know you, why don't you talk a little bit about your contributions to Legal Insurrection and what you do? And I saw a picture of you this weekend or a few days ago in L.A. with Legal Insurrection. So fill us in on Legal Insurrection and Leslie, please.
All right, great. Legal Insurrection began life in the wake of Obama's election back in 2008-2009 from Professor William Jacobson of Cornell University. And shortly after he joined the university, he was having a discussion with a friend, and the friend thought he was liberal, but turns out, no, that Professor Jacobson was voting for McCain. They had a robust discussion, and in the end, it was recommended that he start a blog, which is Legal Insurrection. Insurrection generally isn't legal, but he threw the legal moniker on because he's a lawyer and he does the law, and that was born. Meanwhile, and for the very same reasons, I was on the left coast here writing for two places, Temple of Mut, which was my Egyptology place originally, where I opined on Egypt and science. I've got degrees in geology, chemistry, and biochemistry with the love of ancient Egypt, but plus with SoCal Tax Revolt Coalition, which was a Tea Party. Well, Professor would link to my sites, wanted to expand his, shall we say, suite of authors or stable of authors, and I have been writing for Legal Insurrection in some form or fashion since 2012. I am sort of the site science on technology officer because of my background, but I also cover the crazy world of California because it's just nuts around here, and somebody has to be on the front lines of the counter-resistance as my state descends into Trump derangement syndrome madness. And
right.
Then I also, of course, cover Egypt and China, because my family has connection with China, given my stepdaughter works out there. So that's kind of my broad sphere. I write as I can of topics that help support the group, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job with Legal Insurrection on analyzing all sorts of different aspects of American culture and politics. And I can't encourage people enough, if you need a good analysis of today's hottest news, and sometimes with a great deal of laughter and wit and wisdom in it, please visit the Legal Insurrection website.
Absolutely. And we have a link to it on the show information. And I check it every day. It's on my iPhone. It's one of the, what do you call it, apps, I guess, that you click.
Yes.
And it takes you to Legal Insurrection. I check it every day, because I love the general quality of the work, and of course I love your stuff as well. Dr. or Professor Jacobson is just an absolutely brilliant guy, and I love what he writes. I mean, he is just brilliant, 100% brilliant. But let me, I don't want to spoil the romance and the beauty of Valentine's Day, so give me a quick report on this situation in China and the virus and how you see it. So just give us a little report without, you know, without upsetting the beauty of Valentine's Day, but we have to talk about it because it's a big topic, Leslie.
No, you know, the thing of it is the news cycle is just does not let up, even for a day of romance and love. As I predicted in the show, I thought we would be seeing more and more cases, and it's spreading, and indeed we have. But exactly how far it's going to spread and what the ultimate problem is going to be is still difficult to say. President Trump, again, has opened up 11 military bases to quarantine passengers coming in from known infected areas of China for a period of about 14 days. And one of the first salvos of Wuhan evacuated people came to the Miramar Marine Corps Air Station close to me, and there were two coronavirus cases that have been positively identified from that batch. So we have a total of 14 coronavirus infected people within the United States, and currently the known numbers are 60,000 plus. However, part of the influx of new patient comes from a refined definition. The Chinese are being, shall we say, a little, allowing a little bit more flexibility in the diagnosis, so maybe the numbers bear some sense to reality. It's in 28 separate countries of the current reporting. And the thing of it is, when it strikes, it tends to strike people hard, so 8,000 of those cases are people in critical condition. Meanwhile, there are over about almost 6,000 confirmed recoveries. So again, we're in the process still of investigating and understanding the disease. The Journal of American Medical Association had a report on 138 Wuhan patients that they were able to look at in detail. It appears that the cases they tend to have symptoms that mimic flu and colds, difficult to diagnose. For patients with already weakened lung systems, and with China, people have to remember the Chinese are exposed to a lot of dirty air and they smoke a lot, so their lungs are a lot more susceptible. So the patients who do get struck with a severe case, usually it attacks the lungs. There's a period of what looks to be recovery with the second dip into illness. That second dip tends to be what is the most serious. And in fact, that is the trajectory of what's hit the 34-year-old doctor who first broke the news of the coronavirus outbreak and why he succumbed to the disease. So again, we're understanding the disease better as the days progress. People are fully attentive to it. President Trump, out of abundance of concern that the coronavirus may have been bioengineered, is sending a team of experts to try and determine its origin. And again, people are making it very aware to the Chinese that they need to drum up some facts and reality soon. And meanwhile, in part and parcel, the Chinese supply chain has been fully disrupted. They're anticipating no growth, no GDP in the upcoming quarter. Countries are in the process of accelerating their decoupling process from the Chinese behemoth of manufacturing. So the Wuhan coronavirus is going to have some significant regional impacts in Asia. I'm hoping that with the containment and control, no other country gets slammed by the disease. I have additional good hope that viruses tend to be susceptible to sunlight. As we head into spring and summer, as we increase the level of sunlight, the virus will naturally die off, and we will have seen the worst of this pass in about a month.
Yes. Well, as I said, it's kind of a difficult topic given that we want to talk about Valentine's Day and fun things, but it is here and everybody's thinking about it. And I think your point about the Chinese economy is very good because, if you were any company in the world and you were getting things from China, you would have to think twice about maybe not buying anymore from China. So we've heard all kinds of predictions about what could happen to China. We'll talk about that, of course, at some other time. But let me just ask you a quick question about this. One last question before we get to more fun things about Valentine's Day. And I also want to hear about your son, who's just an absolutely wonderful story that you're going to share with us. But if I'm, let's say, just a typical person like you and me, how vulnerable are we to this virus, let's say, living in Dallas or San Diego? How vulnerable are we, or are we too far from the source to even worry about it, Leslie?
Well, I am going to say I don't know. It's hard to predict because, as with anything that is easily transmissible, as this is, as a disease that mimics a lot of other lower risk diseases like colds and flus, and as with any other disease where everybody has their own sensitivities and proclivities for infection, it's going to be really, really difficult to predict. I can say this, that the Trump administration has established quarantine. They seem to be robust in stopping people long enough to determine if there's infections. But there's always that mix-up, like one of the San Diego patients. She initially tested negative, but it turns out they mixed up the lab sample. So something like that could happen. President Trump's team is also really looking at the ports, the other places of entry into this country. But as I noted in my post today, there is the Carnival in Rio de Janeiro, and the public health officials are revving up to address potential coronavirus infection because 34 Brazilians had come from the Wuhan area. They've been quarantined, but who knows who else has come in. Carnival in Brazil was a high source of tourism. And it looks like the Wuhan virus is, lives on doorknobs and places for a prolonged period of time. There were a set of British who were exposed to the virus after people from Shanghai stayed there in a chalet in France. And they've never been to Wuhan, and yet here they are with the coronavirus. So you take somebody, you put them in Brazil. You infect the people of Brazil, who then chain of infection it way up to Mexico. And then, of course, you have people coming over the border from Mexico. So there's a lot of different pathways it could come. Like I pointed out, who knows how bad, because, A, once we hit the spring and summer, that might mitigate part of the problem. B, we have a much better health system. We have fewer smokers, and people are, better access to medicine. So the Wuhan virus looks like it attacks men more aggressively than women. More of the serious cases, more of the infections tend to be men. So it's thought that maybe estrogen is a protective factor in this. So individual sensitivities will play in it. If you're a naturally healthy person and don't have allergies or asthma or something that can impact the respiratory system, maybe it isn't as serious for you as somebody with an underlying medical condition. A lot of different factors at play here.
Right.
I think we'll know much more in about a month, but also in about a month, I think you're going to see some of the virus, the vaccines to come out, and they will, you know, start implementing the vaccines as soon as safe and practical to do, and they'll do it pretty much like they did for smallpox. They'll hit everybody who is most apt to get infected and work their way backwards from that, hoping to put out the chain of infection in that manner. So
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, but I would recommend to the audience to keep tabs of your reporting at Legal Insurrection. You've been doing some reporting on this, very interesting and very informative. It is a problem. It is a problem that, you know, we have to learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, one other thing I'd like to point out, about it being a problem is there's also a tendency for conspiracy theories and running away in fear and panic. And part of what I do is I have to occasionally translate what I'm seeing into what reality is likely to be, because people won't know what they're seeing and won't know what it means. For example, one of the images that made the rounds was this like spot of light on a background. This is Wuhan, and this is sulfur dioxide coming from burning bodies. Well, no, if you take a look, there were sulfur dioxide patterns from Beijing and other areas where sulfur-containing coal is being burnt, because that's what the Chinese use to fuel their electricity. So there's one case. And another case is that you see this dramatic footage of fire trucks blasting disinfectant and, you know, hazmat-suited men running around the streets of Wuhan spraying disinfectant. Things like that are propaganda drama the Chinese are putting out because the communist Chinese their regime is, what shall we say, not as stable as it might have been, because their populace is very angry at being kept in the dark about the infection and being very unhappy that their lives are in jeopardy. So because some bureaucrats decided not to release the warning and not to implement quarantines and more proactive prevention measures. So the regime is very unstable, and they put out this, we'll say, infection battling theater for their population to digest, which is having the exact opposite effect. It's making it a lot more antsy, people a lot more antsy and a lot more fearful.
Well, that's, as they say, that's the difference between a democracy like ours with a free press and a system like the Chinese, where they hold the information. But I'm going to definitely recommend to everybody to stay in touch with Legal Insurrection, because you're updating us on this situation
every day.
As much as
every
day.
Every day there's I look at the news, I look at what's most important, what is actual news, hard news related to Wuhan virus, and condense it down into a bite size. And it's likely to be for the next couple weeks a daily post as we see the disease progress.
And that's what we want you to do, is check with Leslie and check with Legal Insurrection and get your updates there. And again, you know, beware of, as Leslie was saying, of a lot of dramatic propaganda and stuff like that that just ends up creating fear that is unwarranted. I'll tell you what, Leslie, we're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little Valentine's. We're also going to talk a little bit about your son, Blake. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and today we're chatting with our friend Leslie Eastman. Leslie is a great friend of our show and contributor to Legal Insurrection, wife and mother, and a lady who is very, very well informed in a lot of areas that we need to be informed about. Let's get back to Leslie. Valentine's Day. I know you have a great love for Egypt and Cleopatra and all of that, so I know you love that. But where does Valentine's Day rank in your holidays, Leslie?
We put it this way. It's not at the top of my chart, but I am not one to miss out on a chocolate opportunity. So my husband and I, we do the ritual exchange of cards, and I buy my son and my husband a big box of chocolate, and then I moosh chocolate off them. So.
All right. Well, that's a good to hear that. But let me tell you something. I always found this very interesting, having grown up in a Spanish culture, as you know. And I always found it interesting because in the Spanish culture, Valentine's Day is actually known as Lover's Day. I mean, in Spanish, it's Día de los Enamorados, meaning the day of the lovers or Lover's Day. And that is what it is. And I remember coming to the United States, and growing up here and trying to reconcile Valentine's with Lover's Day. But in Latin America, it is usually a day, or in the Spanish culture, it's usually a day for lovers, husband and wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend. Whereas here is more of a friendship day, as I learned over the years. But it is a favorite holiday of mine because it's a day that inspires you to remember the people you love. And of course, it's a great day for those who have flowers to sell. And I certainly hope all the men listening to me have made arrangements to get flowers, because if you wait till Friday, it really is too late, guys. It really is. I speak from experience. One time I forgot. So I hope you got your flowers arranged, your delivery arranged. And I think, Leslie, you would agree with me. My wife definitely would, but you would agree with me that there's no better gift on Valentine's Day than flowers. Would you agree?
I would say that would be, if you can't do flowers, jewelry is always nice, whatever it is, use your imagination, have fun, do something special, and just make sure that your beloved knows how much you love them. And if you're doing all that, you're doing the day right. And again, chocolate is always a winner. Always.
Yes, chocolate, that'll open a few doors, no question about that. But the beauty of chocolate is, at least in my mind, is, for example, coworkers and people socially or at work and all of that, chocolate is always a good idea. But with your wife, I've always found that, at least in my case, and my father was the same way with my mother, and I've taught my sons to be the same way. There's nothing like flowers on Valentine's Day. I mean, it really makes, I think it touches a lady like nothing else, Leslie.
Yeah, what kind of flowers does your wife like?
Well, roses. I mean, red roses. That's it. I mean, a dozen red roses. I think that's what kind of opens the door.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's been my experience, Leslie. There's some really nice benefits from red roses, if you know what I mean.
I will take your word for it. Absolutely. And when it
I mean,
comes
there
to
are
charm
some.
and just, yeah. Charm, you are the winner. I will say, and this, you're the expert, so I'm
Well,
going to
I'll
just
say this
defer
much.
to
There
you.
are intended and unintended consequences from red roses. Intended and
All right.
unintended consequences. So they always seem to work. Now, in our case, and this is something we've been doing for several years, there is something called the sweetheart dance here in Dallas. Well, not in Dallas itself. It's actually every Catholic church in our, or most of the Catholic churches in our area, do what they call the sweetheart dance, which is on Saturday night. This time it'll be the 15th. And we've been going to this for years, and it's really a nice event because you get to see a lot of friends, and it's kind of a, it's not as expensive, of course, as going to a hotel or a restaurant, but the food is great. The people who cater the dance are really great. So that's what we like to do, and we get to dance, and we get to say hello to some friends that we don't get to see often. But that's been what we've done for years is the Valentine's sweetheart dance, which I really enjoy that, Leslie.
Yeah, that sounds really wonderful. And it's what's nice, though, this year is the President's Day weekend. So my son has a full 4 days off of school. So mom gets to sleep in, too. So I am going to really enjoy that.
Yes, because Monday is President's Day. And of course, this year, I have to say, regarding President Trump and President's Day and Valentine's Day, that we sure have a pretty first lady, don't we, this year? I mean, an elegant, beautiful first lady that, you know, just she's wonderful to look at. She's so classy. She's so elegant. I hope that women in the country have been inspired by her elegance, Leslie.
Yeah, no, it's sad that the media chooses to neglect her. But I honestly can say when I've seen her, every time I see her, she seems a little bit happier. She seems to glow just a little bit more. There seems to be, you know, more affection between her and President Trump. So I think it's one of those things. Both she and the president have kind of grown and, you know, are extracting the most out of their current positions and doing the best for the country. And I think people are praying for them across the country, and they've strengthened them. And I think the spirit really is upon them in a very positive way. And they are doing their work with as much grace as humanly possible, given the challenging environments in which they live. I mean, you just go into the sewer of some of social media for either of them, but unfortunately, our first lady, and I just responded to this, you know, myself, is that one idiot was making a comment about the way Melania was wearing a coat, and my response was priorities. You know, really,
right.
If this is what, and I think what gets my gall when it comes to Mrs. Trump is that we were force-fed Michelle Obama and how beautiful Michelle Obama was and how stylish Michelle Obama was this. And for 8 years, it was Michelle Obama this and Michelle Obama that, Michelle, 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 Michelle. I basically had to stop and not comment anymore because it wasn't Michelle's fault. She was the first lady. People elected her husband. She went long for the ride. But I'm so sick of our mainstream media. Michelle's not attractive. I'm sorry. She's not stylish. Michelle, First Lady Melania Trump, is both those things. Speaks five languages, an intelligent woman, loves the country as an immigrant would. You know, lots of positive. Would have loved to have seen her featured as more than we've seen her.
Right.
Maybe First Lady is happier being less featured. Whatever. I hope it's a good match. But it just adds more fuel to my absolute loathing of our current mainstream media. Every time I think of the situation.
No, I know, and I feel the same way you do. I mean, I respected Michelle Obama as the first lady, as I've respected any other first lady. I mean, I think really, with the exception of Hillary Clinton, who I thought really, you know, was a bit too pushy as a first lady, trying to get involved in policy and so on. I think most of the other ladies, Democrat or Republican, are in there, and I'm sure they're trying to do their best to support their husband and their families. And I always respected Michelle Obama in that sense. But I think the way this first lady, Melania, has been treated is so unfair. She's a beautiful lady, elegant lady. She knows how to present herself. She knows how to walk, everything else. But she's an absolutely lovely lady who represents the country as well as anybody. And people ought to just give her a chance, you know, just leave her alone. But, you know, I guess Trump derangement syndrome sometimes becomes Melania derangement syndrome, Leslie.
Yeah, it's all part of the package. There's Ivanka derangement syndrome. Don Jr., you know, it triggers nearly as many people as badly as his father. I mean, you just can't go anywhere. And if you're one of the staff members who's well-known, like Kellyanne Conway or Brad Parscale, stand back and just watch the mayhem begin.
You're right about that. I mean, you're right about that. I mean, the way that some of these people are attacked, you know, I have no problem with policy differences. I mean, that's fine. That's fair game, you know. But when people are making fun of her son, as they did one time, and I just think that's over the top. I mean, that's not, or under the belt, whatever the expression is. That is just completely uncalled for and something that should not happen. But speaking of their son, have you noticed how tall he is, Leslie? Have you noticed that? How tall he's getting?
I think somebody said he's 6'4", 6'5", which,
that's remarkable.
When boys shoot up, they can totally shoot up. But Blake was just about the same age when he went from being a little smaller than me to being the current 6'2" he now stands. And now
yes,
he's filling out. But yeah, there, it's just like, what happened to my little boy?
I know. And we're going to talk about your little boy in just a second, because it's a great story. But you're right. I mean, I remember the other day looking at a picture of myself and our number two son, and this was a little league picture when I was coaching his team. And in the picture, he's like up to my shoulder. Right now, I'm up to his shoulder because he's really a tall young man. And this thing happens, and that's just the way it is. But I think that their son, the young Mr. Trump, I tell you, he's a really handsome guy. He kind of looks like both of them. Do you get that feeling, Leslie?
Yes, yeah, I totally agree with you. You can see both of his parents in him.
Yeah,
and
I see that.
That's a great thing. He's got the best of both. And,
that's
and
right.
You know, and well, the whole family is just beautiful, but
it's
nice seeing. Yeah, it's not. I just wish that people would keep their comments about Barum to an absolute minimum outside of wishing him the best in life.
Right.
Because,
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I never, you know, my blogging coincided with the 8 years of President Obama and at least the second term of the second Bush. And I never wrote anything negative about their families. I never said anything negative on the air because I feel that their families in many ways are thrown into this. I mean, if you're the daughter of President Bush or the daughter of President Obama, you're really thrown into this. And it's unfair, I think, for people to take shots at them because they hate their father. I just think it's completely, completely uncalled for. Well, Leslie, Valentine's Day for you this year has a wonderful feeling to it because your favorite Valentine, your son, has a great story. So tell us about it.
Well, yes, I am pleased to let your audience know that my son has been offered an appointment to the U.S. Air Force Academy, and he has accepted. So in June, my son will be a cadet at the U.S. Air Force Academy. We could not be prouder. This is an achievement, and it's entirely by his own hand. He's done all the work. He had all the motivation. I hadn't had to press him or urge him. He did what was necessary to complete a very complex application, and we had been in the process of applying to the academy in one form or fashion for over a year. He had to prepare for the nomination process that included a nomination interview, and he happily received a nomination from Congressman Scott Peters in California's 52nd Congressional District. Now, a short note about Congressman Peters. Though he is a Democrat, he is going to be the one Democrat I will guarantee to vote 100% of the time.
Okay.
In part, not only because he's for my son, but he was also took the military in this town very seriously. You can tell he has a great deal of affection for the people in the military and who he works for. His staff was epically awesome and during the entire process, and it was quite clear in this process it was not political. It was a quest for excellence, which is just marvelous. Congressman Peters called my son in early February to let him know that he had an appointment, and then once we got the letter, he basically went on the internet through the website and accepted the appointment. And he will be heading to the Academy on June 25th of this year. So, he's hoping to major in physics. And, we don't know if he'll be part of the U.S. Space Force, but definitely some role in developing our space, military space options and equipment and procedures and processes will be likely be part of what he does. So thrilled beyond measure that my son got his first pick in the university. That is such a, an honor. Only 1,200 cadets per class.
Wow.
He is one of them. And, couldn't be happier. It's a big load off of us because they pay for everything. So, we
helps.
Retirement now. Yay!
Yes, that's right. Well, that helps. I haven't been through three of those. I know what you mean. That helps when you get a little help like that. But walk me through it. Now, when you say he goes to the academy, which I believe, where is the academy? Where will he be actually attending school?
Yes, it's in Colorado Springs, Colorado,
okay.
And they have a big facility there. Everything's necessary to not only do college programs, such as what he's going to be doing, but also military, because this isn't a classic college. This is, you're going to have a university experience, but you're also going to have a military. So it's a hybrid.
Right.
And so it's a very different. So you need a very different mindset to be an academy member. And we're trying to prepare Blake for the physical demands of basic training, as well as the, shall we say, the psychological ones, because they do.
Yes.
They do make an effort to train the cadets in crisis management and dealing with high stress situations. And so he'll be subjected to quite a lot, especially in the beginning couple of months there. So, but we think he's up to it. He's been prepared. He went to the summer program last year, so he's aware of what goes on at the academy. So it's just a matter of him finishing up the senior year and him heading off, and we'll drop him off. And then Ben and I will be taking a little tour of the Rocky Mountains, and just I'll be into a new phase in my life, which is just beating down more work and more pungentry.
That's right. No, I know what you mean. But that is so cool. Such a wonderful story. So it's a 4-year program, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, currently his goal is a physics major, which pairs nicely, I think, with their enhanced needs for what will be the space programs they'll be looking to develop.
Well, maybe there's a legal insurrection contributor there in your future, too, in the family, Leslie.
Yeah, well, I have a sneaking suspicion that I don't think my son will be writing, but what I think it will happen is, I'll follow the Academy adventures from a distance. I already do somewhat. I have punched into the U.S. Air Force and the Academy and U.S. Space Force, so I tend to see those news stories come up nowadays. And if you follow me on Legal Insurrection, you'll see that I frequently write about the U.S. Space Force, and I've got posts coming up on it this weekend related to that. So.
This is such a neat story that that's why I'm so happy you're sharing it with us. And we have a pending date. We'll see when we can arrange it, when we can bring Blake on the show, and he can talk to us a little bit about the experience directly. We need to plan that sometime in the future. But I think this is such a wonderful moment because, as you say, only 1,200. I mean, that's a really amazing thing. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment when you just look at the fact that, as I said, 1,200 young men, I guess, and young women too, are in this. I mean, it's really remarkable in a country of 330 million people, Leslie.
Yeah, no, it's just, every is this like they explained to Blake, every candidate is outstanding there.
Yes.
So it's going to be in a way very, very humbling, because you're going to be at everybody's the same level. So, you know, Blake is used to being top of the class,
mm-hmm.
And he's going to have to, you know, it's going to be very competitive, but good. I think he's got, you know, it's going to grow. He's going to be more, you know, he's going to be, the focus will be on leadership and developing his skills. And he's always had a bit of a military mindset. So
mm-hmm.
I think he's looking forward to serving the country as well. And,
right. Well,
you know,
I can tell
early...
you just from, yeah, go ahead.
No, I said getting this early start means that, you know, he'll do a career in the Air Force and maybe at some point go into civilian life. But, you know, if when he does that, whenever that is, I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have all that background, and he's just
right.
launched for success. So
no, I agree. I think this is going to be a wonderful story that we'll be reading over the years from you, the different chapters. And I know that he's going to do very well, because you and your husband have done a great job training him and developing him and making him the very nice young man that he is. So I think it's going to be a great story. I'm looking forward to the updates that you'll give us over the next few years. Well, Leslie, Valentine's Day, thank you so much again for joining us on this wonderful day. And do you have anything else that you want to say about Valentine's Day? Any movie that you would recommend on Valentine's Day?
You know, I'm trying to, yes, there is. It's one of my, I have a favorite one, and, you know, it's one my husband and I actually saw on Valentine's Day,
oh,
my
good.
Big Fat Greek Wedding. I love Greek music and Greek food, and
yes.
I just love the whole, you know, ending and the process and the Greek family.
Yes.
So, you know, it's one of those things. If you had like a nice romantic comedy and a little light fare for Valentine's Day, that'd probably be the one I would pick.
Yes, I like that one a great deal. In fact, I would second
you.
Oh,
and speaking of that, and for those of you who would like a little different take on it, Shirley Valentine. Because that's about a British woman who goes off and decides she's sick of the British life and her family, and she's not appreciated. So she goes off and basically has a little romance with a Greek man, decides she likes it in Greece too much and doesn't leave, go back home, and this reestablishes a life on her own, Shirley Valentine. So that also is an option for those of you who may be single and, you know, just but would like a little lighter fare. I would enjoy that occasionally when I was a single woman back in the day. So a couple of movie options, depending on which way you're going this year.
Well, I'll tell you one that I like a great deal and we're going to get to do this year. We have tickets on Sunday afternoon at the Dallas Symphony. We'll do Romeo and Juliet, you know, the wonderful piece by Tchaikovsky. So we're going to enjoy that. That's one of my wife's favorites. She's a big fan of classical music. So we got tickets for that, and we're going to enjoy that on Sunday afternoon. Now, of course, that's a classical version of the great Romeo and Juliet, but it's one that my wife loves, and I like it a lot, too. It's wonderful music and a wonderful way of spending, that's going to be the Sunday after Valentine's Day. But again, it's a weekend, I think, for most couples. It's a weekend called Valentine's Day. So that's my not my favorite necessarily, but one thing that we're going to get to do this year, Leslie. So you have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and I look forward to our next show as always, and I look forward to your posting at Legal Insurrection. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for all you've done for our show over the years, Leslie.
No, thank you for, you know, being a voice of reason and sanity and keeping the light burning and just being a great place for analysis on all sorts of different subjects with all sorts of wonderful people. So big hugs to you, your fans, your family, and we'll touch base sometime next month, hopefully with less Wuhan coronavirus in the news.
That's right. Yeah, hopefully we don't have to talk too much about that, and I do thank you for all the work you've done informing us on that topic. So happy Valentine's Day to you and to your family, Leslie, and we'll reconnect again.
All right. Bye, Silvio.
Thank you so much. Our good friend Leslie Eastman, over the years, a great friend of our show, and she's a great contributor to Legal Insurrection, as all of you know. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and I hope that everybody has a wonderful Valentine's Day. And I'm going to post some of the other shows that we did over the years on Valentine's Day. We have a lot of different ones, and they were really fun, the ones that we did before. Thank you so much, and thank you again to Leslie for joining us today. Bye-bye, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day.